chapter 1, verses 1 through 3.
I want to begin today with a reminder that the book of Jonah is a book about God's grace. And so as we work our way through this minor prophet, Jonah, please keep that in mind, that this book is about the grace of God. I think we made it clear a couple weeks ago when we started this study that the central character of this little book is not the fish, it's not Nineveh, it's not even Jonah. This book is about God and His grace toward His people. It's about God and Jonah. It's about God and Nineveh. It's about how God works by His grace in the heart of His prophet, and it's about how God works by His grace in the hearts of the wicked. Now, it might be easy for us to be carried away with the details of this book, and the details are good and the details are great, and we'll be looking at them, but don't lose sight of the grace of God as we study together the book of Jonah. Let's look again at the passage before us today, Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, this first passage of the book of Jonah can be easily divided into three important truths. I want you to see it even as we begin to look at this passage. In verses 1 and 2, we see that the word of the Lord comes to Jonah, and we could call this the command of the Lord. In verse 2, we see why the word of the Lord comes to Jonah. The sin of Nineveh comes up before the Lord, and we could call this the wickedness of Nineveh. And then in verse 3, we see that Jonah runs to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and we could call this the response of Jonah. And so as we begin this study this morning, please don't think that what we see in this passage, or what we see even as we continue to study this book, don't think that this is strange, and don't think that this is odd. Now, the details are surely different. It's a different time in history. It's a different situation in the lives of people. But the main elements in this passage and the main elements that we see throughout this book take place in our lives every day. Every day. As God's people, this is where we live. Even in our passage this morning, God gives us commands. God has a purpose for these commands, and we respond to the commands of God. Let's now this morning look at Jonah, and when we look at Jonah, let's look at ourselves. How do we respond to God? First of all, we see the command of the Lord. Look again at verses 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it." Notice, folks, that the book of Jonah begins with a command. And this command sets the stage for the whole book. Now, this is not just any command. Notice that verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah." This is the word of Yahweh. This is the word of Jehovah. This is the word of the great I Am that speaks to Jonah. This is the word of the covenant-making God of Israel. This is the word of the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. This is the word of the Lord who brought His people Israel out of Egypt with a strong hand. You see, folks, this is not just any word. This is the word of the Lord that comes to Jonah. Do I need to remind you this morning that you hold in your hand the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Now, we don't know how that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. We're not told in this scripture. The Lord could have spoken directly to Jonah with words that he could hear. The Lord could have given His word to Jonah's mind and his thoughts. The Lord could have spoken to him in a vision. The Lord could have spoken to him in a dream. We're not told in this passage how the word of the Lord came to Jonah. But we do know that this was common here in the Old Testament era, that God would speak to His prophets. Hold your place in Jonah chapter 1 and go to the next book, to Micah. Micah chapter 1. And notice what it says. Micah chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moresheth in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah." You see, the Lord would speak to His prophets, and then the prophets would speak for the Lord. They were His spokesman. We see here in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And what was the word of the Lord? Look at verse 2. "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it." And so the word of the Lord came to Jonah in a very simple and plain way. "Jonah, go to Nineveh. Cry out against this great city." We look at those words, and it's not hard to understand. It's not difficult to hear and comprehend. God gives to Jonah a clear command. And folks, we think about that this morning, and we would say it's pretty amazing that one sentence can change your life. One sentence can change your life. You know, folks, you can be driving down the highway and get one phone call that changes your life forever. You can be at work and your supervisor stands before you and says one sentence that can change your life forever. You can be sitting in a hospital and a doctor comes in and says one sentence to you and your life will never ever be the same. See, if it's good news in our perspective, then our life changes one way. If it's bad news, then our life changes another way. But either way, your life can be turned upside down with just one sentence. Think about this morning. One command from God can affect your future and the future of many other people. One sentence from Yahweh and your life will never, ever be the same. See, that's Jonah. That's what happens to Jonah when God spoke this short sentence to him. He said, "Arise and go to Nineveh." Brothers and sisters, this morning, please don't underestimate the importance and the power of God's Word. One command from God can change your life forever. The way that God speaks to us today is through His written Word. God's Word changes lives. God's Word can change your life and my life. Now, why was Jonah to go to Nineveh? Well, the Lord leaves no doubt or confusion for Jonah. Again, it's a simple command. It's a clear command. He says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it." That's the command. We have no other detail in this statement by the Lord. We're not told specifically what the message was. Hold your place and turn to Jonah chapter 3. And look at verse 4, Jonah chapter 3, verse 4, because we're told later what Jonah preached. Jonah chapter 3, verse 4, And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk, and then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." That was the message that Jonah preached. 40 days, and this city will be overthrown. What we do know from Jonah chapter 1 verse 2 is that Jonah is to cry out against the city. Folks, this was not a message that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life by the prophet Jonah. This was a message of judgment. Doesn't mean that God's love is not important. The Bible has much to say about the love of God, but the Bible also has much to say about the judgment of God. And the message of God's judgment, folks, is a terrible message. We must not forget this message of God's judgment. We must be willing to share it with others. And folks, when we do share it with others, we must share it with great sorrow and with great fear and with great love for them. Because we may dance around the bush when it comes to sharing the truth of God, and it's very easy for us to share the love of God, but brothers and sisters, we must share what takes place when people reject God and they turn away from God and they live their lives like He doesn't exist, because what they will face is the judgment of God. And that was the message that Jonah was to take to Nineveh. I have come from Yahweh, and His judgment is coming upon you. Repent. We're not told that that's exactly what Jonah said. Later, we're told 40 days, and judgment will come upon you. But put yourself in the place of Jonah. Put yourself under the weight of this command by God. It's a simple, plain message He is to deliver. And folks, please don't forget that with the message of judgment, there is also always a message of grace. Judgment is coming. Turn away from your sin. Repent of your sin. We'll learn more about this as we get into this book. Sinful man can repent. So we see that God's command is the first part of this passage. The word of the Lord comes to Jonah. Arise and go to Nineveh and cry out against it. Jonah had the word of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, we have the word of the Lord. This is where he lived. This is where we live. Notice now the second part of this passage this morning. We'll call it the wickedness of Nineveh. Look at verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. If we're to understand this book and understand God's command to Jonah, then we must also understand Nineveh. God says in verse 2, their wickedness has come up before me. This phrase is used in other places in the Scripture, in the Old Testament. It carries with it the idea that a situation is extreme enough to gain the special attention of God. Now, we understand that God is omniscient. He sees all things. Nothing is outside of His look. Nothing escapes God's view. And yet we see this phrase used in the Old Testament, and it tells us that something is happening, and God gives special attention to this. God sees it. He looks at it in a special way. It's like He says, enough is enough. And this situation has come to the point that God will do something about it. And the situation in Nineveh is wickedness. And the time for judgment has come. And what had come up before God? The wickedness of Nineveh. Let's understand Nineveh this morning. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. And Assyria was the most powerful empire in the world of that day. And the Assyrians had this reputation for cruelty that is hard for us to comprehend. It was a cruelty of a gross and disgusting kind. You see, when the Assyrians would go in and they would defeat a city or they would defeat a country, they didn't have the manpower to leave behind in that country to control it. And so they made sure that the conquered people were given a message of power and submission, and unspeakable atrocities would take place. Things like skinning people alive, decapitation, mutilation, piercing the chin with a hook and with rope, and leading people about like dogs. You see, ancient records from Assyria boast of this kind of cruelty as a badge of courage and power for the Assyrians. And the nations of the world around Assyria knew of these actions and greatly feared the Assyrians. And when Jonah is given this command to preach God's judgment against Nineveh, it is surely justified. And let's not forget that the actions of these Assyrians were simply the manifestations of their hearts. We also need to understand, as we look at this passage this morning, the relationship between Israel and Assyria. Israel was a neighbor to the Assyrians, and they knew of their power. They lived in the same region with this great world empire, and there was hostility between these nations. The Assyrians had no use for the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel hated the Assyrians. They hated their cruelty, they hated their idolatry, they hated their pride. These nations were enemies. And there were times in their mutual history when Israel would gain strength and the Assyrians would be less powerful, and they pushed and they shoved against one another. But make no mistake about it, the Assyrians were the top dog in their time and in their place in the world. God often used His prophets to declare judgment against sin and the wickedness of other nations and people. And that's not strange. God would do that. His prophets would declare His judgment against these nations around Israel. And most of the time, it was because of their treatment of Israel. God would judge them. And the prophets of Israel would be the proclaimers of God's message. But what's different and what's shocking in this book is that God would command Jonah to go to Nineveh and declare this message of judgment. He would go there in person. You see, with many other prophets, the prophets would they would receive the word of the Lord and then they would declare this judgment. But here we have this record of God saying to Jonah, you go to Nineveh. Face to face, feet on the ground, go to Nineveh, walk on the streets, talk to the people, live with them, be with them. Declare to them that judgment is coming. Do we have Ninevehs today? Yes, we could say that there are nations like Nineveh. But let's get more personal. Is there a Nineveh in your life? What pulls us out of our comfort zone? Where do we not want to go? I mean, have you ever said to God, I'll do anything except I'll go there? See, what is your Nineveh? Fred, we have to be careful about Chicago. I've said, I don't want to go to Chicago. I've been there once and I don't want to go anymore. You have to be careful what you say, Fred. See, Nineveh represents danger. Nineveh represents discomfort. Nineveh can be what you hate, but what God loves. And God said to Jonah, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." We see the wickedness of Nineveh. And then notice the third part of this first passage. Look at Jonah's response, verse 3. "But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." So when God said, "Arise, Jonah, and go to Nineveh and preach against it, cry out against it," now we might expect the next verse to say, "And Jonah arose and went to Nineveh." But that's not what happened. Look at verse 3. "But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." In other words, Jonah runs from God. And folks, Jonah did what no other prophet and no other man of God in the Bible did. When God gave them a command to proclaim His word, men obeyed, people obeyed, Jonah disobeyed. I mean, Moses made excuses, Elijah complained, but they all obeyed. And Jonah runs. Jonah flees. Jonah refuses to obey. Perhaps it would help us to understand a little geography at this point. If I'm the nation of Israel, then we would say that Nineveh was about 500 miles north and east of where Jonah was. Today we're talking about 300 miles north of Baghdad, very close today to the city of Mosul, Iraq. Tarshish was 2,000 miles in this direction from Israel. So we're talking about a 2,500 mile gap between God's command and Jonah's response. To say it another way, very simply to understand it, God said to Jonah, "Go east," and Jonah went west. Notice also in verse 3, it says he went down to Joppa. Now that's true in two ways. First of all, to get to Joppa, Jonah had to go down to the seacoast, to the port of Joppa. But second, by going to Joppa, Jonah was going down spiritually. As a matter of fact, that phrase is used several times in chapter 1. He went down to Joppa. He went down into the hold of the ship. He went down into the sea. And yes, he went down into the belly of the fish. And folks, that is a clear reminder that when we disobey the command of God, we always go down. Always. Down away from obedience, and down away from closeness to God, and down away from spiritual growth and strength, and down away from pleasing and glorifying God. Every step of disobedience is a step downward away from God. And why did Jonah run? Why did Jonah disobey? Well, simply said, he didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't care about Nineveh. He didn't think that God should care about Nineveh. He didn't want Nineveh to repent. And we put this all together and we can say that Jonah wanted his way and not God's way. And so, folks, Jonah's problem was not with Nineveh. Jonah's problem was with God. And see, we can step back this morning and really just catch a glimpse of our hearts that when we have a problem with people or when we have a problem with situations, that's not the problem. The problem is us and God. That was Jonah's problem. Verse 3 says that Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, did Jonah actually think that he could run away from the presence of the Lord? I don't think so. This phrase, the presence of the Lord, actually has a specific meaning. In the Old Testament, for example, when a priest served, he served in the presence of the Lord. When a prophet served, he served in the presence of the Lord. And so this term actually points to an official ministry. And what we read here is that Jonah ran from the presence of the Lord. So what that means is that Jonah was running away from his position as prophet. He was resigning as prophet. He was saying to God, I don't want to be a prophet anymore. If I have to go to Nineveh and proclaim this message of judgment, then God, I'm turning in my papers. I will not be a prophet anymore. And he runs from the presence of the Lord. He runs from his calling and his responsibility. He did not want to go to Nineveh. And to make sure that he would not go to Nineveh, he says, I quit. I'm not going to go to Nineveh. And then finally, look at the last part of verse 3. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare, and he went down into the ship, and he was on his way to Tarshish. And folks, get this now. All of the circumstances worked out for Jonah. All the circumstances. He went to Joppa. There's a ship to Tarshish. He has the right money in his pocket. He gets on the ship. He goes down into the ship. He's on his way to Tarshish. This must be what God wants, because it's all working out. All the circumstances and all the situation, this must be God's will. I don't have to go to Nineveh. I'll go to Tarshish, and you know what that is? It's rubbish. It's nonsense. Jonah is disobeying God. And folks, there is always, and I emphasize to you, there is always a price to pay when we disobey God. And so right now in our passage, it all looks pretty good for Jonah. He's not going to Nineveh. He's on a ship to Tarshish. He's going his own way, and it all seems to be working out just fine for the prophet Jonah. But look at the first three words of verse 4. It says, but the Lord. But the Lord. See, folks, what that means is that God is not ignoring the actions of his prophet. God will respond to Jonah, and God will respond to us. This is where we live. First three verses of the book of Jonah. We have God's commands, we have the purpose of God's commands, and we respond to God's commands. How are you responding to the commands of God? Let's bow our heads. Oh, Father, help us this morning as we begin this study of this little book called Jonah. Father, we need your help. And Father, not only do we need your help to understand it, but we need your help to move past this indwelling sin that can pull the wool over our eyes, Father. And we can see truth, and we can look at Jonah We might even look at others, Father, but we fail to look at ourselves. Help us. Help us to see the seriousness of your commands that are given. Father, help us to see the importance of your purpose in those commands. And Father, help us to respond in humility and obedience to your commands. Whatever they may be, God, you know our hearts right now. You know each person here right now. You know what we may be struggling with in your commands. God, help us. God, move us to repentance. God, move us to humility. And even now, respond to you in obedience. Thank you for your grace that allows that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.